Welcome to the Quarter One 2013 Wilco Drilling PLC conference call. My name is Sarah, and I will be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I am now handing the call over to John Oliver Bryce to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you for that introduction, Sarah. Again, welcome to Wilco Drilling's first quarter 2013 results conference call. My name is John Oliver Bryce. I'm the CEO, and on the call also will be Ian Wilson, our CFO, and Catherine Havand, our investor relations. Before I start then, for those of you who don't know the background to Wilco Drilling, very simply, we are listed on the Oslo Stock Exchange on the AIX. We are a drilling contractor operating two semi-submersible mid-water rigs. We have U.K. rigs for U.K. customers, and we are essentially a U.K. play. During this call then, I'll be referring to Wilco Drilling's Q1 presentation, and that presentation is available on the website. I'll be occasionally referring to page numbers. During the call then, we'll be talking about highlights from the first quarter. I'll go into a little bit more detail on the numbers for the quarter. I will give you some feedback then on the operations of the rigs. I'll go on to talk a little bit about the market and a quick summary and on to Q&A. Page five on the presentation then, five main bullets here talking about the highlights. I guess I'm very pleased to announce Wilco Drilling's first dividend, and that dividend has been set at $1 per share. Second bullet there, headlines from the numbers, revenue for the quarter, $53.4 million, and a margin, EBITDA of $33.9 million. Third bullet then is our OpEx or our operating cost, and that came in for the quarter at $75,300 per day per rig. It's a very good number. It is unusually low, though, and I will be going on to explain why it was unusually low in this quarter later on in the presentation. We have a note about another highlight from the quarter is our contract backlog is now up to $466 million. Again, I'll go on to elaborate on the changes that happened to that backlog in Q1. Finally, you see at the bottom, revenue efficiency during the quarter. I should say Q1, actually, not Q4, if you're looking at the presentation. It came in at 91.2%, and that's slightly above guiding. Those are the highlights of Q1. What we'll do now is we'll move on to page nine of the presentation, and Ian Wilson, our CFO, will walk us through the income statement for Q1. Ian, can you walk us through the income statement?
Yeah, just looking at the first column, Q1 2013, our contract revenue, $52.3 million. Very much in line with expectations and purely a function of the operational efficiency of the rigs during the quarter. Total revenue is $53.4 million. Rig operating expenses, $13.5 million, which equates to that $73,500 per day per rig. The G&A expenses of $5.4 million includes $2.7 million in respect of provision for the LTIP. Underlying G&A expense is $2.7 million, which is in line with projections. Operating profit, $29.5 million. Interest expense we see decreasing, and this is as a result of the repayment of the Transocean quarterly deferrals that we had made, and this will be reflective of the quarters going forward. Profits for the period before tax, $27 million, with a tax expense in the quarter of $2.3 million, which represents 9% tax rate effectively. Total comprehensive income of $24.7 million equates to an earnings per share of $0.82.
Okay, thanks for that, Ian. If we can now move on to page 10 of the presentation, and can you walk us through the Q1 2013 balance sheet items?
Okay, top line there, the plant and equipment, the rigs, machinery, and equipment, $249 million. We had additions during the course of the quarter of $3 million, offset to some extent by the depreciation. The current assets total there of $93.4 million, principally largest individual component item there, the cash build-up of $40 million. Total assets, $343.5 million, and bottom half of the balance sheet, a long-term interest-bearing debt, is 95.3, and that's in line, or in addition to the current portion of long-term debt, is 106 million. Offsetting the debt by the cash gives us a net debt position of 66 million. Total equity and liabilities, 343.5 million.
Okay, thanks for that, Ian. So moving on to some feedback on operations during Q1 of 13. Let's start with page 10. And we have a snapshot there of the company's contract status. As of today, the company has a contract backlog worth $468 million. The Will Hunter, one of our rigs, has a long-term contract with Hess. Initially, it is at a day rate of $360,000 a day, and that contract runs until the end of May 14, and at that point, it goes to a higher rate of $385,000 a day. That contract runs until the end of November 15. At that point, there is an option of up to 275 days. That option has not been priced, and that option must be declared no later than the 25th of February 2015. So the other rig, the Will Phoenix, is currently working for Premier, and that has a contract of $315,000 a day. During the quarter, a couple of changes happened to that contract. The first change was that Premier exercised one of its options, and this was the first 70-day option, also at $315,000 a day, taking the Will Phoenix's firm contract until first week of May 2014. Over and above that, Premier have a further six 30-day options which are index-linked. Now, those must be declared by the 1st of October 13 and then 30 days thereafter for each 30-day option. Finally, the last change that occurred to Awilco Drilling's contract backlog during Q1 was that as part of the Premier contract, Premier agreed a sublet of the Will Phoenix with Maersk. And this sublet is for a 5-month period in the winter of 13. And as part of this sublet, the rig has been priced at $375,000 a day from Premier to Maersk. Awilco Drilling and Premier have a profit share agreement that any sublet enhanced rate is split 60% in favour of Awilco Drilling, 40% in favour of Premier. So the effective rate for the Will Phoenix during the 5-month sublet from Premier to Maersk is $351,000 a day to Awilco Drilling. So that's another enhancement. So that's a snapshot of the two Awilco Drilling rigs, the Will Hunter and the Will Phoenix, looking forward, and the changes that occurred in Q1. Moving on to page 11, you'll see some notes there on operational performance specific activities. The first point there is operational performance achieved a 91.2% operational uptime, and that is slightly ahead of our 90% guiding. That is made up of two parts. The Will Phoenix averaged 96.9% over the quarter, and the Will Hunter was 85%, but the blended rate was 91.2%. So another point there, continued positive customer feedback. One point of note is that the Will Hunter completed a long two-well contract, long in duration for these wells, with Canadian operator Suncor. These were high-pressure, high-temperature, challenging wells. They were carried out very safely, and very positive feedback from Suncor. So that continues with the positive customer feedback for the rig's services. Then we have a note about the OPEX, or the operating cost. This came in at $75,300 per day per rig. This is somewhat lower than previous guidance being mid 85,000, mid-80s per rig per day. Simple reason being that in the UK there is currently an issue with helicopters. There is a shortage of helicopters due to a safety issue, and therefore access to the rigs is being somewhat hindered, and as a consequence non-essential personnel are not being allowed to travel to the rigs, and so a lot of our additional work, our project work, and these costs for this project work, work as way into the OPEX cost, have had to be cancelled or postponed. So lower than planned project work because of restrictions on logistical helicopter restrictions has resulted in a OPEX of $75,000 a day. Moving forward, we expect to see these numbers as helicopters become more available. We expect these numbers to come back to more in line with guidance in Q2. It will most likely be something close to $80,000 per day per rig, and in Q3 and Q4, probably back to guidance of mid-80s. And in terms of catching up with the lost work in Q1, that will probably not be achievable. So then, finally, a note here about operational improvement measures. Last year, the company started an initiative to optimise our operations. We looked at improving our organisation, our work practices, our spare parts inventories, etc. And the company continues with that initiative. It's a very high focus. This is very much in terms of helping to protect our operational uptime and our revenue. So those are the main points in operational performance. Moving on to page 12 of the presentation, a short note there about dividends. And as I said at the start, I'm very pleased that Awilco Drilling can now finally announce that it is intending on making a dividend. So this will be at $1 per share. When? Well, it will be paid on the 20th of June, and the reasoning or the calculation behind this dividend amount is very simple. It's the same reason that's been trailed previous to this presentation, and that is that all free cash over and above a robust buffer, circa $35 million, will be distributed back to the shareholders. So that is the explanation of the $1 per share dividend. Moving forward onto the market then, the UK market, if you're looking at the presentation, you can see slide 14 and 15, and what those slides tell you is that day rates continued pressure on day rates. We've seen some recent small fixtures, some extensions to existing contracts. There are two Transocean rigs which have just had extensions to their existing contracts, one being the Transocean John Shaw, was extended for 12 months to Taka. That was for $415,000 a day. The other rig, which had a recent extension on its existing contract, was the Transocean Prospect, and that was with Nexen, and that was for 6 months at $425,000 a day. So pressure continues on day rates. And if you look specifically at slide 15, you can see a picture of the UK rigs which work in the UK there. Those are all the semi-submersibles, and the only availability moving into 14 is Awilco Drilling's Will Phoenix and the one of the Diamond Drilling, I think it's Ocean Princess. So only two rigs available from 14 onwards, and there's already demand in excess of that availability moving forward. So a good position to be in at the moment. So that's the market and supply-demand picture. Moving forward, again, if you have the presentation looking at 16, what are the drivers? Why do we expect the UK market to be tight beyond 2014? Well, there's some bullets there, but I guess the headline one there is sustained high oil price, well above investment triggers. And this, when this is combined with a now stable tax regime, this is very much underpinning operator longer-term confidence. So sustained high oil price, above the triggers, the tax regime is stable, and operators or oil companies are now making longer term commitments, and we can see that with either investments into oil companies or oil companies making longer term commitments to drilling contractors in terms of contract duration. So what else is driving it? Well, the UK government is encouraging drilling activity through licensing, very proactive there. And what are the oil companies actually doing? Well, the next four bullets explains that. Looking to increase activity in northern and central North Sea, also increasing work in West of Shetland. These are major operators. But also major operators are now increasing their focus on decommissioning and well abandonment activity. And a very good example of that is Awilco Drilling's Will Hunter rig working with Hess for essentially the next 3 years doing abandonment activity. Last two bullets there are finally the smaller independents who quite often have drill or drop commitments with the UK government about exploiting new and marginal fields. They continue to prop up the market as well and very much look for sublet opportunities. So those different reasons from the major operators and the entrepreneurial independents are very much pushing the demand for drilling rigs. And then finally, the last point is the UK market has barriers to entry, and this is quite an important point in terms of why are not lots of other rigs, midwater semi-submersible rigs, coming to the UK to join in this kind of bubble, these increased day rates. Well, very simply, the UK has some very, very stringent regulations in terms of rig compliance, acceptability, and if a non-UK rig was to arrive here, it would have to undergo a project of upgrade and compliance and approval, or acceptance, should I say, and this will take a large amount of money, typical projects, 25 to 50 million, right up to 150 million, and also the typical risks with projects, the mobilisation costs. So it's an expensive, risky business. It's not impossible, but there are significant barriers to entry which would make drilling contractors with rigs outside the UK take careful consideration before mobilising a rig to the UK for that. So that's what the point of barriers to entry is all about there. So in summary then, last page, we've walked through now the market fundamentals, and they remain positive. We've talked about Awilco Drilling's contract backlog, which is significant, $468 million, which is very positive. We've talked about the continued focus of Awilco Drilling on operational efficiency. The announcement of the dividends, the Q1 dividend, which we paid in Q2, of $1, very positive. And the company continues to evaluate growth opportunities on a case-by-case basis. But in the meantime, until an opportunity can be found that could add value, and that's a big ask, the company will concentrate on high uptime and creating free cash for distribution to the shareholders. So that concludes my presentation, and I will now hand back to Sarah for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask your question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. Our first question comes from the line of Øyvind Hagen from ABG. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Øyvind.
Yeah, hi. Just a few questions, if I may. First, on the dividend, you're now paying $1 for Q2. Are you making any commitment to the absolute level of the dividend, or do we have to forecast it on a quarterly level based on your expected cash flow?
Yeah, it's basically we have a rationale that we have a circa $35 million cash buffer, and then the free cash generated per quarter will be redistributed. So it is linked to operational performance and free cash generated.
Sure. So no commitment to an absolute dividend level, basically.
Not to a specific level, but a commitment to redistribute the free cash over and above our buffer.
Sure, I understand. And then on the market, we have one unit, as far as I can track, looking for work in the UK midwater market now, that is currently in Las Palmas. what odds do you put on that unit actually entering the market, and what kind of contracts do you think they're looking to get?
Okay, so I'm guessing you're talking about the Transocean Arctic 1, which is an enhanced pace setter. It's actually kitted out for slightly deeper water than midwater, so it is being marketed throughout the world as well as the UK. I guess you'd have to ask Transocean exactly what they want to do with it, but what's the likelihood of it coming to the UK? It will need an upgrade. It will need money spent on it, which will come with risk. And so, in my mind, if I owned that rig and I was thinking about where to put it, I would be looking for a longer-term project that I could finance a project from. So there are barriers to entry. They cost money, it takes time, and has risk to overcome. So I guess Transocean will be weighing that up very carefully, but it will need an upgrade to enter the UK if it was to be awarded a contract. And in my mind, it would need a significant contract to trigger that decision.
Are there contracts of that type out there in the market now? I mean, we see a few multi-year tenders out there that I guess would be fitting for a re-entry project.
There are two tenders currently in the public domain. There are, I guess there are other operators having offline conversations, but the two that are public at the moment is TACA, which is tendering for a 30-month program starting sometime next year, and also Nexen for a 12-month program with 2 6-month options. So those are the two that are in the public domain at the moment, but I'm sure more will follow.
Sure. Okay, thank you. That's all from me.
Yeah, pleasure.
Thank you. We currently have no questions, so as a reminder, if you would like to ask your question, please press star 1 now. A final reminder, if you would like to ask your question, please press star 1. Okay, we have no further questions coming through, so I'll hand the call back over to John Osterbrecht to conclude today's call. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. And for the listeners, thank you for attending this conference call for Awilco Drilling's Q1 report. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending today's conference. You may now replace your handsets.